This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
The Affair on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Brady.
Good evening, Brady.
Oh my goodness, what a beautiful day it has been in Melbourne town.
Isn't it glorious? For those listeners who aren't in Melbourne town, you've missed out. It's been beautiful.
It's been so sunny. I've got a little bit of sun today.
Yes, yes.
I think I've got to start wearing my big hat again.
I put on sunscreen before I went out for breakfast this morning. I was very sun smart.
You're very good. Mm. My goodness, what would I do without you? Look, tonight on The Affair, it's the love affair.
It's quite romantic. I've turned the lights down in the studio, listeners.
True.
So luckily there's a wide desk between us.
Hey, a big thanks to Byron for the news and Shannon for the Chappelle show.
Yes, happy birthday, Chappelle.
Happy birthday, Chappelle.
2 years on air.
Good honour.
With that show. Yes.
Absolutely. Hey, so it's the love affair. Now, we're not being mushy, are we?
There will be none of that mushy guff. No. But it's not going to be completely cynical either. Hopefully.
Really? Well, you and I talking?
Yeah, good point. We'll see what happens. No, it's all about love tonight. We'll be talking about love. We'll be playing some love songs, but not really love songs, songs about love, but they'll be uplifting and doof doof party style. Well, maybe not doof doof.
Well, I know what you mean, Brady.
Hey, they won't be romantic ballads.
They're not yet. If you're thinking this is late night love songs at 6 o'clock and Joy 94.9, you are terribly
sorely mistaken.
We got a little bit of. We are doing many different decades of tracks, though, aren't we?
Yeah, we are covering a fair area. So,
I'm very glad.
Yeah, but look, it is all about love.
Yes.
And tonight we are asking our lovely listeners to let us know what their first love was.
You are so smooth sometimes,
I know,
can I tell you?
I know. But it doesn't have to be a person, it can be a thing. You can be in love with something,
yes,
or someone, or anyway, let us know.
Oh, now, Brady, can I ask, what are you going to reveal? Are you going to reveal your first love or your first love of something?
Oh, I'm not going to do it right now because I haven't given it any thought.
Can I've already given it some thought.
Go on then, tell me.
Now, I'm going to give you two responses.
Okay.
So, first love, Lego. I absolutely loved it as a kid.
Do you know what? I still do. I bought some about 6 months ago.
What did you buy?
You know, you can get the Lego architecture.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, let me guess. Is Frank Lloyd Wright?
No, you're close.
Damn.
Farnsworth House. That's very nice.
That's very smart.
I spread it out on the table and it was like I was 6 years old again.
I was actually really
disappointed, though, that it only took me, you know, like, an hour or something to put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, it kind of didn't.
I was going to buy the Guggenheim because I love the Guggenheim. Guggenheim's probably one of my favourite bit of my favourite examples of Frank Lloyd Wright architecture, one of his last major commissions. But it's not that great in Lego.
No, it's big pieces.
Yeah.
So there's not much putting together.
Yeah, and I do love Falling Water, though. Falling Water's probably, it's still a beautiful home.
Yes. Even now, I did look at that for the Lego as well, but decided against. But I was one of those kids with Lego. I would only make it according to the pattern. Like, according to the book. And it used to drive my friend Nikki insane because she would always like, let's do this. And I go, no, you have to follow the steps in the book. And when my sister had kids and they played with my Lego, which was still at mum and dad's house, I used to get so traumatized because they'd mix the colors up and not follow the instruction booklet.
Ready?
Yes.
Table for two. Because I was that retentive with my Lego, I also kept the box and the instructions. And when I finally gave up Lego, because it was quite a funny year, I played at Lego until I was about 16, worked out that I was gay, packed my Lego up, and went and got myself a boyfriend. It all literally happened like
busy,
in a six-month
busy.
Period. But what I did was I packed everything away. So then if you open that box, you had all your pieces ready. Now, my nephews and my niece have totally ruined the collection that I spent so much money and so much time of my youth in. But you know what? They got a lot of enjoyment out of it as well. So you're just going to let it go.
I'm totally hearing you. It still traumatizes me when I find an odd little piece of my Lego, you know, in the carpet at the house. Anyway.
My God. Anyway. Brady, let's play the first song.
Your choice. Some music. Yes, my choice tonight. Yes. It's about love. And look, love is special. Love changes everything. Don't worry. It's not the Sarah Brightman song. It's Climie Fisher from 1987.
Good choice. You're listening to The Love Affair tonight with Brett Squared on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
You are listening to Joy 94.9 tonight. It's The Love Affair with Brett and Brett. Now, we're not having a love affair. We just want to talk about love. We're not doing anything sappy tonight, are we, Brett? We're just talking about, do you have a favourite love? What was your first love?
What was your first love?
Doesn't have to be somebody. It could just be something. And Brady and I were just talking before Lego, apparently, for both of us.
Yeah, we were both quite keen on it. That and Matchbox cars. Who'd have thought we'd grow up into this?
Goodness. Now, we still want to hear from our beautiful Joy listeners. Tell us what or who was your first love. Now, Brady, we've already got a shout-out.
We do have a shout-out going out to our missing co-host, Hickey, all the way from New Zealand, who's very pleased that we're not doing soppy love ballads tonight.
Oh, bless. We miss you, Hickey. You know, Hickey's going to be... We're going to be doing a little bit of another love that we have very soon.
Absolutely. Our first love is the Eurovision. because it's 6.5 months away to Eurovision, but...
I know.
To give you a preview, we thought we'd do a special... It's coming in 6 months, so that's coming up in a couple of weeks.
Oh, my God. How exciting. Now, we couldn't do a show on love without mentioning the next... classic TV show. So, Brady, here's an idea for a TV show.
Okay, I'm listening.
Let's grab the bald guy from the Mary Tyler Moore Show, the head of chaos from Get Smart, a token black guy, because it's the 70s, a geek from Comic Relief, two cheesecake all-American girls, and more than enough guest stars to sink a ship. That's it. We'll put it on a ship. Well, Mr. Aaron Spelling did that in 1977 and came up with a show loved worldwide.
Love, exciting and new. Come aboard, we're expecting you. Back to you.
Oh, well, it would have to be the Love Boat. Now, from 1977 to 1986, and a brief but very unsuccessful revival in the new wave in 99, the Love Boat was primetime viewing. Every week, with welcoming the cue of the Pacific Princess, would take you on set sail on a story of hilarity and romance, all within the hour. Usually the trip would be to Puerto Rico, but destinations did include Sydney. Brady, do you remember the Sydney?
I do not, no.
Oh, my God. Well, I think it's Delveen Delaney.
Oh, so they did actually come to Sydney.
Yes.
It wasn't like Point Break where, you know, they tried to film Torquay somewhere completely different.
No. They did do specials of the Love Boat, and one of the destinations was Sydney, and it is the most atypical view of Australia. So there's the Sydney Opera House. There's, I think, a brief conundrum happening in the bush.
Right.
And the bush being the Blue Mountains. I think you see some kangaroos and koala bears, mm-hmm. and some bad love interest story with Gopher and an Australian girl. And I'm not sure if it was Delveen Delaney, but it was at least someone who looked like Delveen Delaney.
Fantastic.
Big hair, lots of sunshine, and really, really rough Australian accents.
Of course.
Do you remember watching the show?
Oh, absolutely. And it's still on. It's on Channel 11. I caught it, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago.
Yes.
And it's at like 11 o'clock in the morning or something. And I was sitting there going, this is so bad, but I cannot turn away.
I know. And I know it's the same plot line, but... Yeah. I love it.
I know. It's literally like they have the same characters each week. They just, they have a different name and they're played by a different actor.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the guest stars.
Absolutely. Now, I'm gonna lead into my episode of The Love Boat.
Oh, you
typical.
Were a guest star on The Love Boat?
No. I would have loved to have been a guest star on The Love Boat. I mean, I still love watching the old openings because it's like, who's the guest star?
Yeah.
And my favourite, some of them included, Brettie, Andy Warhol.
I did not see that one, I do believe.
Houston.
I did know that, yes.
Debbie Reynolds, of course.
Yeah.
Florence Henderson.
Oh, she was on it a lot.
Yes. Sonny Bono. Ursula Andress. Tab Hunter, because a lot of old Hollywood stars would appear. Carol Channing, Ethel Merman.
Oh, Carol Channing was on it a lot too. Yeah.
Ginger Rogers. Don Knotts, Dorothy L'Amour, Sid Charisse, and I think
she was on it a lot.
She did a lot, of, like a bit of a tap dance in the restaurant. Gloria Vanderbilt was
really
on it. Yes. Donnie and Marie Osmond, of course. The Mills sisters, the Gabor sisters.
Yes, I remember them.
And the Pointer sisters.
Really.
The Village People, and how could we talk about The Love Boat without talking the very special guest, Anna. We've spoken about her before on the show, Charo.
Yes. Now, Charo did record her own version of the Love Boat theme, which is fantastic, and we do have, but we'll resist playing it. We'll save that for another occasion. But she was, of course, she was on it seven times, I think, seven separate times.
It was at least one every season she would be on it. Now, do you remember her name in the show?
I do not.
April Lopez.
Oh, of course.
Because it couldn't be Charo. And I used to get frustrated as a kid because it'd be like, Charo's on it. And it's like, well, why are they calling her April?
No. They're playing characters, Brady. It's a fake. It's not
real. I know. I just thought that's, you know, that would be the perfect holiday to go on.
Oh, look, totally. I always wanted to go on a love cruise after watching The Love Boat as a kid. I really did. And the closest I ever got was going on like an overnight. It was called a ferry. So I turned up thinking it would be like a ferry, but it was in fact a cruise ship.
I
went from Helsinki to Stockholm or something like that. And it was kind of like that. I kept walking around wanting to go and play, you know, something on the Lido deck, you know.
Now, did you know that it basically revived the cruise industry? Because cruising, because remember, before the end of the Second World War, to really get around, and really up into the 60s...
Oh, yeah. You took a boat.
You took an ocean liner. Yeah. And then when airplane travel became far more... Well, it became quicker, because originally we were like airline travel to fly from Melbourne to London, you literally had to stop at Darwin, Singapore, KL, parts in India, the Middle East, Greece.
Yeah, but no one got deep vein thrombosis, did they? No.
No, because normally you would get a car that would pick you up and you would stay in the city the night. So it was very interesting. Okay, my typical Love Boat episode.
Okay.
All right. So a couple is about to divorce, but they get back together at the end of the show.
Of course.
Charo, or April Lopez, sings and is zany. Old lovers find each other years.
Oh, that happened a lot.
Especially with some of the old Hollywood stars.
For sure.
Julie falls for a Harlem Globetrotter because I think they actually guest starred.
Yep.
Charo sings, then does the splits. Two opposites who hate each other, but then they fall in love with each other at the end of the show. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Charo sings and starts a conga line on the promenade deck. Gopher falls for a pretty girl. Doc makes sexist remarks about the pretty girl. Do you remember how he was the dirty sexist pig?
Yeah, I also didn't like Gopher. Gopher was as dumb as a box of hair.
And ugly. Like,
yeah.
Ugh. Isaac says dynamite to the pretty girl. Sorry, that was good times. I mean, hey man, because he was always the token.
Yeah,
like
but then
was...
he left and he got replaced by the guy who played the neighbour on Married with Children, Ted McGinley or something, the blonde guy.
Yes.
Yeah, but he was never as good.
No, he was never as good. Everyone has dinner at the captain's table. Charo appears again because Susan Haywood dropped out and she's wearing a skirt and a handkerchief top and sings the theme.
Yep.
That's basically a typical Love Boat episode, isn't it?
Yeah, look, the best thing about the Love Boat, too, is that if you hadn't picked that up, is there was basically three separate storylines happening in every episode.
Yes!
And they were always written by different groups of writers. So they had nothing to do with each other. So, and they never even attempted to, like, make the characters interact.
No.
And,
except for when they were all coming onto the boat, they were all together. And then when they were exiting, they were all together. But the rest of the time, none of them...
No.
I don't even think it was filmed in the same studio.
No, and look, I think they actually slotted them together separately because I did read somewhere that there was sometimes some kind of continuity problems because of that. Because, like, Julie, the cruise director, would be farewelling someone at the end of the tour and then all of a sudden she'd be wearing a different outfit to farewell a different couple at the end of the tour.
Well, that explains why they always basically had day wear, and it was always, you think about what the doc wore, what the captain wore, everyone
well,
had
they all
the
uniforms,
same thing.
Yeah.
But then at night, they always, I think except for Captain Mero, remember Captain Mero? He would have his, like, almost official uniform.
Yes, yes.
But everyone else got to wear dinner wear.
Yes.
Evening wear.
You got to frock up when you're on a cruise ship.
Well, my goodness. Absolutely. So that was one of my biggest loves. And we are asking the question tonight, what was your first or who was your first love? Brady, you've chosen the next song as well.
I have chosen another song, which is kind of from the era of The Love Boat. And this is perhaps the soppiest of the songs that I've picked tonight. So this one, Best Female R&B Vocal at the 23rd Grammy Awards, which were in 1980. It's Stephanie Mills, Never Knew Love Like This Before.
You're listening to The Love Affair tonight on Joy 94.9. It's Brady and Brett.
Joy 94.9 on air and online at joy.org.au.
Joy 94.9, it's The Love Affair. That was almost Mrs. Justin Bieber, Selena Gomez and The Scene, Love You Like a Love Song.
Do you know, I haven't heard that song before.
Really?
I mean, that was really... I liked it.
It's a great song. You've got to check out the video clip. It's fantastic.
Really?
She's singing karaoke. And so she's singing karaoke and she plays all the characters in the bad karaoke movies that they play in the background.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, it's a great song. I picked that because I can't believe I'm... putting meaning into a Selena Gomez song.
Oh, no, please.
But you know how when you are in love at first, it's all, like, ridiculous. And I like the way she kind of removes that from being a love song.
Yes.
Because you know how love songs, you think no one would ever sing that to someone, but she's in love and she realises it's like a love song, so she loves him like a love song.
Oh, that's really sweet.
I'm putting far too much thought into this.
I didn't think we were doing saccharine tonight,
sorry,
Brady.
Sorry.
But we are asking the question.
What is your first love? What was your first love?
Now, I've been corrected. We've received an anonymous SMS saying, hi there, it was Delvine. She played a total dinky die. G'day, mate. Cobber. It was. I thought it was Delvine. And that was when Delvine, because remember, Delvine got hooked up with one of the guys who played, oh, I forgot his name now, from the Paul Hogan show, because Delvine used to be on the Paul Hogan show. And I want to say Strop. That was his name, Strop, and he was a lifesaver, and he always had, no matter what outfit it was he was wearing, he always had his little lifesaver cap on. Do you remember?
Yeah. I've seen it on, like, regular.
Okay. But Delvine, I always thought Delvine was beautiful, and years ago, I had to go into Spotlight on Chapel Street, and there was Delvine buying lime silk.
Really? Mm. She was probably going to wear that to the spring racing carnival.
Well, do you know what? She must have been in her age and she still looked great. She looked really good. Bless Delvine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Brittany, another love of mine. I've told you before, I was talking about this before, about David Bowie. Now, I sort of like David Bowie, and my partner recently bought the David Bowie... it's all his singles from the 70s up into recently. And he was listening to it, and I was like, what are you listening to? And he told me, and I was like, Then I listened to it and went, wow, I've forgotten how much I love David Bowie, especially the album in the 80s that he did with Nile Rodgers, he of Chic fame, Let's Dance. And it was around 1983.
Yes.
And if you hear some of the tracks, you can hear that Chic tempo.
Do you want to know the funny part about that is that really hardcore David Bowie fans hate that album and that era.
Isn't it funny? Because I hate the Ziggy Stardust nonsense.
There you go.
But I love 80s Bowie. And this is what I love. This song's called Modern Love. And he claims it's a struggle between God and man, but a lot of his, a lot of people have said it sounds very similar to "I'm Still Standing" by Elton John.
Yes, it does have little overtones of that.
Well, maybe you can be the decision tonight, dear listeners. Here's "Modern Love." We are by the fantastic. I love the start, David Bowie. You're listening to The Love Affair tonight with Brett Squared on Joy 94.9.
I know when to go out. Stay in. Get things done.
Australia's most amazing gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
On Joy 94.9, it's a love affair with the two Bretts. We've been asking our listeners to tell us what was their first love.
Hey, my beautiful sister has sent through a message and she said, "Hello, Bretts. I love watching The Love Boat with my brother Brett. Still get the urge to sing the theme song, Sissy, at Christmas time when you're visiting town. Let's do it." And speaking of Eurovision, one of my first loves that I can remember has to be ABBA. I love them.
Yeah, I got to say, I had a bit of a love for Agnetha child. And we also had a message in from Nick. His first love was a little bit more interesting. It was priest's son. They were both altar boys. Anyway.
Now, Bretty.
Yes.
We've done The Love Boat.
Yes.
What else could we think about? And I think I'm not even going to start this. I'm just going to play the theme and let's just enjoy.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's perfect match.
Now welcome to the show.
Greg Evans! Yay!
Oh my God. And can I say,
do you love it?
I love it. And do you know my favourite from the show? Dexter.
Dexter the robot.
I couldn't get enough now, Brady.
Your perfect match with a compatibility score of 73% was contestant number two.
And I love the fact that the daisy wheel printer was working overtime. Someone just kept on going, just let it run.
I always thought they should have got a bonus prize if they had picked the correct person with the highest compatibility rate, but all they really got was either a hug, or if it was someone else, they did the look across the studio.
And that's sort of like, I'm a loser. And then they'd wave that awkward wave. Yeah.
Look, very brief rundown for the younger listeners who aren't familiar with it. Get onto YouTube. You'll be on there for an hour like I was. But anyway, look, basically it's the blind date show from the US.
Yes.
Was here in the 80s as Perfect Match. Single person hidden behind a screen asks three very, very scripted questions of three contestants that he or she cannot see, picks answers, and then at the end of the game, picks a winner, and they go away for a romantic weekend, just them and a TV crew.
And there was normally, at the start of the show, it would be three females for one male, and then they would always swap. That would be three males for one female.
Yes, and now, the best part of the show, of course, was in between those two segments.
Absolutely.
Where one of the previous winning couples would come back on the show, and first of all, we'd see a little highlights package of their romantic weekend in Keppel Island or somewhere like that.
Dunk Island used to feature a lot, as well as Surfer's Paradise.
Yes.
And if you got a really sucky one, because it was filmed here in Melbourne, if you got a really sucky one, it would be like Phillip Island.
Yes, you're going to Adelaide.
Oh, and you could hear the audience would go, even Perth got a better met. Like, to go from Melbourne to Perth, that was still quite, because 80s in Perth was quite glam.
Yeah. So look, and then, so we'd watch a little highlights package, and then they would take the couples aside separately prior to the show and videotape them, asking them questions about them, and they would play back their answers in the presence of each other. And it was always best when one was in love and the other one hated them.
I remember this one time where this girl absolutely sledged this guy. And this guy, look, I'm not going to lie, he wasn't really that attractive, but a really nice guy.
Right.
And he was like, you know, "Thanks, Denise. I had a really nice time. Look, it may not work out, but let's be friends." And she just went, "You stink, you smell." Like, she was, people were screaming blood from her. And then she was totally embarrassed. And he took it on the chin. He was like, "No, look, it's okay. I don't care." And she was upset saying, she got upset. It's like, well, you're an idiot, because you knew that they were going to play it back. Like, really?
Yep. No, look, I actually knew someone who went on the show, and he was a bit of a tool, I must say, and he thought he was a bit fantastic. He was good looking, but he wasn't like really good looking.
Yes.
Anyway, and we all thought he was a tool. Anyway, he was the picker. So he had his choice of the three ladies behind the screen. So anyway, he picked a lady and they went off. I can't remember where they went to, and they came back and it was gold, because she, like everyone else who knew him, thought he was a tool and said things like, "You think you're some kind of model. You're nothing special, Christopher." It was great.
I remember years after the show had finished, Greg, because poor Greg Evans, I mean, he's sort of been tarnished with Perfect Match. Like, he's the host of Perfect Match. And even a recent advert for a real estate online app, he's still doing Greg Evans and there's still Dexter. Yes. And I mean, I like it, but I think, well, you know, you've got to take work when it's done. And he was talking about why they never used to send chaperones to these weekends away, but they had to start doing it. Because what happened at one chaperone? Because sometimes what they would do to save costs, they would fly both couples from that show up together.
Oh, okay.
And then what they would film is they would film whichever was the more interesting one. So either they fell in love or hated each other. They would then only... So that's why you never got to see everyone's
story. Only ever got one story, whereas there were two couples.
Absolutely. So what happened in this particular one at Surface, the two girls were left on the beach and the two guys walked away holding hands. So they had to do this thing of, well, what do we do? Oh, my God. Okay, so they had to just bring back a couple instead.
Wow.
And he said it years, it was like years afterwards.
That's great.
But can I say, I've seen some of the dogs on Perfect Match. I know it was the 80s, Brady, but please, had anyone heard of a dentist?
Oh, look, it was just fantastic. It really was. There was huge hair, there was massive shoulder pads, and that was just the guys. Boom, boom, boom.
Hey, we are asking everyone, who or what was your first love? We've got another shout out.
That's exactly what Noel has done. And Noel's first TV love was Ponch from Chips.
He was hot. Who doesn't mind a Latino riding a bike?
He also really fancied Buck Rogers and Matthew Starr and Peter Davidson as Doctor Who. I also was a bit of a fan of Peter Davidson as Doctor Who.
That might be a table for three there. Yeah. I thought poor Peter hasn't aged as great as
really?
He did. But he did look hot in the early 80s.
Well, see, didn't he come straight after Tom Baker?
Was he that his did,
name? And not Ted Baker, Tom Baker.
He was playing at the time Tristan in All Creatures Great and Small, the younger brother of one of the vets.
So the doctor kind of went from that crazy curly-haired big scarf.
Would you like a jelly baby?
Yeah, to what was kind of a bit of a hunky blonde kind of doctor.
Hey, look, I've got the next song. And this is probably a love of mine. And we were just talking about Kate Sobrano before, that people really love Kate Sobrano, or they don't. Well, I'm one of the ones who love, and this is My Love Is Alive. Late 90s here. You listen to The Love Affair with Brady and Brady on Joy 94.9.
Have your say. SMS 0427 Joy 949.
We've come to the end of tonight's Love Affair, and we will be back next week, Brady.
Absolutely, and this will obviously be podcasted by tomorrow.
If you can't wait until then.
Oh, my goodness. Now, the final song tonight, dear Beyoncé.
I feel like Chappelle.
It's got to be the fabulous Love on Top.
Count the key changes.
Oh, my God.
4, 6, or 8.
Oh, my goodness. Brady, final words before Beyoncé takes over?
Oh, I love you, Brady.
I love you too, Brady. I love you, Australia. Good night.
Joy 94.9.
This has been another podcast of The Affair on Joy 94.9.
You can always catch us at 6 p.m. on Saturday nights on Joy 94.9.
And catch us online at joy.org.au/The Affair.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.